In your Bibles to Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3 and verse 25. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. We've been looking at this past number of weeks about fear, and I want to look tonight again at fear and look at the things that we fear the most, how the things that we think upon affects the outcome of fear in our lives, and how the words that we speak can affect what happens in our lives. Job, we read in chapter 1 how that he was a righteous man and how that God spoke to Satan about him and gave Satan permission to go and to do unto him whatever he wanted, because he knew that Job could be tested and trusted. And when that was done, Satan come again before God, and he again complains to God, you know, well, I've done that, but there's still protection around him. And he says he's got his health and all the rest. And the next thing, he gets permission again, and he goes and he brings sickness upon Job. So Job has, in chapter 1, he loses his sons and his daughters. He then loses his livestock. He loses all his cattle and his sheep and whatever other livestock he has, which means that he loses his wealth because he loses his income. And then he loses his health. And chapter 2 tells us that he takes a potsherd, it's a thing for scraping pots, and he's scraping his skin because of the soreness of the boils all over his body. And then here in chapter 3, if you read through the chapter, Job wants his life to end. He wants to die. He's saying, why does God even give me breath today? Why am I alive? Look at the state that I'm in. And he says here in this verse 26 that which he had feared for, the thing that he had feared the most, had come upon him. And you see, I believe in looking at scriptures that when we fear things, what we actually do is that we open a door for the enemy, Satan, to come in. That in fearing, we give the devil a foothold and we give him access into our lives. And tonight I want to look at that. I want to look at how we actually counteract that in our lives, how we overcome those fears which give access to Satan, because God does not want us to live like that. God wants us to be overcomers. He wants us to overcome all of our fears, and he wants us to live a life of peace, and he wants us to live a life of security in him. Job, at this stage, was miserable. Things weren't looking good. And I believe, you know, that at periods in Job's life, because of this statement that he makes, that the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me, that Job had spent time in his life meditating upon these fears, meditating upon the possibility of losing all that he had. He was a wealthy man. Of losing his family, of losing his livestock, of losing his health. At some stage, he had feared these things, because he admits here that the things which he greatly feared has now come upon him. The things that we say and the things that we meditate upon are very important. Turn with me to Proverbs 18, verse 21. Proverbs Proverbs 18 and verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The things that we say are very important. And I'm going to give you an example of how this works. I was away all day yesterday to a convention. I went with three other guys, and one of the guys that was with us, he was telling us on the road up about that his son was away, his son 14 years of age was away playing a game of rugby, and that his wife wasn't happy at the fact that he was away all day and she had to take him to the rugby. So my friend John said to him, well, will she just drop him off or will she stay with him until the match is over? And he made a simple statement, but as soon as he said it, it struck me, that's the wrong thing to say. What he said was, and I thought it strange, no, she's going to stay until the match is over in case he gets injured and she has to take him to the hospital. And I thought, I played rugby all my school life, and never once did it enter my head about getting injured or having somebody stand by to take me to hospital. But he spoke them words, and I just felt in my spirit straight away, your expectancy is that your son is going to get injured during a rugby match and he's going to end up in the hospital. At 1 o'clock when we come out of the first meeting and he turned his phone on again, there was a text message to say that his son had been in a bad tackle and that someone had fell on his shoulder and he had broken his collarbone, dislocated his shoulder, and he was in Craigavon Hospital. And I immediately turned to the guy, and it probably was wrong of me to do this too, because I said, I'm preaching on that tomorrow night. I said, I'm preaching on the fears coming upon us, and I explained it to him. And he says, well, now you have an example to share. And then I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't have said that, but it's the power that is in words. And sometimes we don't realize that. And the Word of God says that we will give an account. It tells us in Mark's Gospel, we will give an account for every idle word that we speak. And if you think of that, make you stop and think of some of the conversations you've had today or this week or last week. Because we have to give an account for every idle word that we speak. And you see, I think, looking at this, if life and death, or death and life, are in the power of the tongue, we need to be very careful about what we say. We need to be cautious about the things that we speak over our lives, the things that we speak over the life of this church, the things that we speak over the life of our children, the things that we speak over the life of this city. Because the things that we say have the power of death or life. You understand? And you see, if we are more aware of what we are saying, if we are more conscious of the things that we say, then I believe we would handle our conversations a lot more carefully than what we do at times. And that we make statements, you know. And as I was preparing this, I was challenged in my heart, because they'll tell you, in my home, I keep all the grandkids going. And I have 5 grandkids, and every one of them, and I'm not biased in any way, but they're all beautiful. But I keep them going and say, why were you born ugly? And I have to stop it. I've been challenged because there's none of them born ugly. They're all beautiful. And I need to be careful of the words that I speak and anything that would discourage them in their lives. So my apologies for that, and I'll stop it. And if I do it again, tell me off. That may sound funny, but it's not funny when it comes to more serious things. And when it does involve death and life. That guy yesterday spoke those words over his son. And that injury could have been a lot more serious than what it was. We should be praying for protection upon our children. We should be praying life into our children's lives, not speaking words that's going to bring harm or bring condemnation or bring discouragement into their lives. And that goes not just for our kids. That goes for our family as a church. You know, and it grieves me at times when I hear people speaking about another brother and they're bringing condemnation about that brother. And I always remember what Jesus said about the woman who was caught in adultery. He says, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone." And there's none of us that haven't done wrong. And somebody may have done wrong, yes, but it's not our job to stone them. It's our job to go to that weaker brother or that weaker sister and restore them in their faith. And too often the church puts them down and the church puts the boot in whenever things are going wrong in somebody's life. You know, fear is something that every one of us experiences at different times in our lives. And it's how we deal with that. It's how we react to it when it comes. Job, he had these fears going on in his life. And those fears came to pass in his life because he never at any stage dealt with those fears. And every one of us has fears going on in our lives that possibly we haven't dealt with. And many of us, and I'll say this because we have examinations expected in tomorrow night at Bible school, and many of the students have been in fear of failing. So I see one hand. You see, that fear comes, and the devil puts that in your mind, that you're going to fail. And the truth of it is, Pastor Mike and myself do not want to fail anyone. We want to encourage us in the Word of God. That's the whole idea of Bible school. To encourage every student to know more of the Word. And yet the devil comes and he tries to steal the joy of Bible school by putting fear into your minds of what you're going to get in that test or that exam when you hand your essays in tomorrow evening. And if you haven't it done yet, you may get home tonight and get it done. But it's what you do with that fear. And you need to take hold of the Word of God, and you need to quote the Word of God against those fears. And every one of us will experience fears. And again, that fear, that isn't going to have a real detrimental effect on your life if you fail or you pass. That's not going to mean that you've totally failed life. And I don't believe any of us are going to fail, so don't be fearing and worrying about it. But what about when the devil comes and he brings a fear into your life, and your mind is overtaken by that fear, and you start to think, this thing is going to happen to me? And I know people who have real fears of being trapped in a burning house, or being in a car crash and not being able to get out of the car, and having those type of fears, and waking up in the middle of the night with the sweat running off them, and having reoccurring dreams of those incidents happening. And that's the devil trying to seize and grip people's lives with fear and putting thoughts into the imagination, just as he did with Job. And you might say, well, that's all a load of nonsense. I don't believe it's a load of nonsense when those things actually happened, Job, because he allowed the devil a foothold in his life. Now, if you're sitting there and you have any of those fears or something like it going on in your life, don't be sitting in fear now thinking this is going to happen to me, because I'm going to tell you how to escape from those before we finish this evening. And I'm going to give an opportunity for prayer before we finish this evening. But just to make you aware of the things that you meditate upon, the things that you let your mind dwell on, and the things that you speak out of your mouth are very important. that they're the right things and they're the things of God, and not to give the enemy a foothold and not to allow the enemy to come in and to affect your mind in any one way. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says, as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Or as a man thinks within himself, so he is. So how we think is important, because it's the way that we think, the way that we meditate on things, that will have a result on the outcome of things in our lives. How we think on things will have a result on the outcome of things in our lives. And as a man thinks within himself, so he is. Every one of us is conditioned in certain ways through life experiences, through things that we've been taught. And the problem is, a lot of us have been taught wrong and have been conditioned wrongly, and we need to get rid of that way of thinking. Turn with me to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, I'm going to read from verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Jesus is teaching here, and he's teaching against worry, and worry is another form of fear. When we're worrying, it means that we're not trusting God, we're not having faith. And I believe, again, reading this, that worry is a sin. Because when we worry, we have lost faith and trust in God to provide. And he's talking about basic essentials here in life. Jesus is talking about the need for food, the need for clothing, need for to have something to drink. Basic essentials that he knows that everybody needs. And he says here that he knows that you have need of these things. So don't you worry about it, because he's going to provide it. And I wonder, over this past 7 or 8 years of the recession, how many of us have wondered how we're going to pay our bills? And many of us have worried about where we're going to get the money from to buy the groceries this week, or worried about where we're going to get the money for our clothes, or pay our rent or our mortgage or whatever. And again, that's Satan trying to put fear and doubt into our minds. And Jesus gives a clear word as to how we overcome those things, how that we are not to worry about those things. He says he knows you have need of them. He says, and even the Gentiles, those who aren't saved, they have need of them things too, and they're the things they're seeking after. But he says, as his people, as God's people, that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you see, if we do that, the promise is this, all these things, not some of them, not a wee bit, all these things shall be added unto you. So if you have fear of what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, that's the answer. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things is going to be added unto you anyway. I have lived now through, this is my second recession that I've lived through. In the first recession that I lived in, I lost my home. I lost practically everything I had. We moved into a caravan with three kids when Kathy was 6 weeks old, and we lived in it for 18 months. And you see, in the midst of all that, I sought God, and you know what? He was faithful. And he restored a home, a better home. He restored everything that was lost and more. And he blessed us in the midst of all that. Do you know what my problem was, why I lost the home in the first place? Because I wasn't seeking first the kingdom of God. And I was worrying and chasing after money, chasing, trying to build up a business, trying to do things my way, trying to sort things out, when all I had to do was trust in God. And in the 18-month period from losing all that, God really took a dealing with me. Pride was one of the biggest things in my life, where I thought I had it all sorted out and things was great and we had all the holidays and we had everything that we needed, and all of a sudden a recession comes. And you see, that's the point that we need to learn, that we're not reliant on our jobs, we're not reliant on the government for handouts, we're not reliant on anyone else, only God. And it's when we learn to rely on God that he meets all of our needs. But you see, fear can come in and fear can take over. But we can deal with that fear. We can deal with those issues in our life. And again, it's back to what I've taught before on just trusting God, no matter how dire situations seem. Trusting God and relying on his word and standing on his word. But it's sometimes how we are conditioned as we grow up. You know, I was always brought up in a home where the ethics of that home was work hard and do well and try your best and all the rest. And those things in themselves are good. But those things won't provide when there's no work there. Those things won't provide whenever there's a recession hits the land. I needed to learn to rely on God. And you know, we're now year 7, I think it is, of this recession, and I can see signs that we're coming out of this recession. But not once in that 7 years have I worried. Not once in that 7 years have I thought, I'm going to lose everything again. And there have been times when work has been scarce, but yet God provided. Because I trusted in him. I sought first the kingdom of God, and that was the difference this time around. And you see, when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things are added onto us. Fear is something by which the devil tries to control every one of us. Tries to control our thought patterns. Tries to control the things that goes on in our minds. We heard about things that went on in the Philippines this morning, and there's a lot to talk today about trafficking of people and slave labor and stuff like that that goes on. And today there are a lot of people in society, especially young girls, who are trapped in prostitution because of fear, because they're afraid that if they try to get out of that, that the person who's in charge of them, who's earning money from off them, will beat them up, will do things on them, and are held in that grip of fear. And they've been conditioned like that because of the person who is in control of them, that maybe beats them or does worse to them. And that is how Satan works. And that's taken an extreme in society today, and unfortunately that extreme exists and goes on. But bring that across to the church. How have we been conditioned in our lives? What has went on in our lives that makes us fear and makes us step back from the things that God actually calls us to and wants us to do? And a lot of that conditioning can come through, for example, how we were treated by teachers in school, or how our parents conditioned our way of thinking. And I believe that we need to get away a lot of times from that conditioning that has been in our minds, those thought patterns that has been set up within each one of us, because we can be treated in such a way that we have a dependency on others rather than being our own selves, rather than being the people that God calls us to be. Parents can treat their children in such a way that when it comes to the time for them being married, that they still want a control over their children's lives, and instead of realizing that they're going to gain a son-in-law or gain a daughter-in-law, they think they're losing a son or they're losing a daughter. And there's that type of control and controlling issues that goes on. And those issues can create fears in people's minds, and it can create a reliance on the person getting married, on the parents, when the Word of God says that we're to break away from that, that when you marry, that you're no longer tied to that, but you now, two have now become one flesh. You leave your father and your mother, and those issues should no longer exist. But because of the conditioning of the mind, we can get entrapped by fear, fear of breaking relationships, and a relationship that's built on that type of fear doesn't really work. Relationships need to be built on love. Relationships need to be seen to be built on love. And the same can be said within a marriage, where if a marriage exists only because the wife is afraid of the husband, or the husband is afraid of the wife, then that relationship becomes a relationship that is only existing because of fear. Again, a woman that stays with a man that beats her all the time and that is bad to her, she's afraid of leaving him because in many cases the man has spoken words over her life and said, look, you leave me, there's been nobody take you, but nobody want you, you'll be on your own, you need me to exist. And vice versa. Unfortunately, that happens as well, where it's the woman beating the man. We hear a lot of the man beating the woman, but it happens the other way around too. And it's relationships built all on the wrong thing, built on fear rather than love. And that's the devil's way. That's the way the devil seeks to manipulate situations in people's lives, hold them in bondage, hold them in fear. And these type of situations are usually born out of insecurities. Insecurities that has been built into people's lives as they're growing up. Insecurities because of the way they've been treated at home, or the way they've been treated at school, or the way their friends. And the reason I'm sharing all this is because those things create what the Bible calls strongholds in our minds. What is a stronghold? A stronghold in this context is an area in which you're held in bondage due to a certain way of thinking. A stronghold is an area in which you're held in bondage due to a certain way of thinking. And many of these strongholds are due to fear. What do we do about these strongholds? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 10. Verses 4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, fear's seat of authority only exists in our mind. Once we do something about it, fear no longer has that seat of power that it once held. And here in these verses, we see that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, or they're not of this world, or they're not of flesh, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds. And the strongholds are in the mind, because it goes on in verse 5 telling us to cast down these imaginations. You see, if Job had of took hold of his thoughts and cast down these imaginations, because he had the power within him to do that. He knew God, he knew the strongholds existed. He could have done something about it. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You see, when fear comes in your life, for every fear that comes, there will be a word of Scripture that will override that fear. There will be a word from God that will counteract that fear. There will be something in the Scriptures to tell you that that's not from God. And there's one Scripture that I've quoted every week, and I want you to remember it, and it's in 2 Timothy 1:7, and it says, "For he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Now, if you don't know any other Scriptures, if that's the only one you learn about fear, that's enough, because God hasn't given you the fear. So when fear comes, you have to recognize straight away it's not from God, it's from another source, and the only other source is our enemy, Satan. And when that fear comes, we need to learn to counteract it with the Word of God and come against it. And you see, when fear comes into our minds, what it's trying to do is exalt itself above the knowledge of God. The Word of God tells us one thing, fear tells us another thing, and fear tries to get a grip so that we think that the fear is stronger than God. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we need to know that, and we need to know that there's no fear that will come upon us. There's nothing that the devil can put into our minds. There's no stronghold. And it only becomes a stronghold when we meditate upon it, when we allow it to take root, and we allow ourselves to think about it, and we're constantly worrying about that thing, and thinking, you know, this might happen. Strongholds can be broken. And the way that it says here to break it is that we're to take captive everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. We're to cast down those imaginations. We're to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every time we have a thought from the enemy about fear, and it's not just talking here about fear, it's everything that the devil will come against us with. But fear is one of the devil's greatest weapons and strongest weapons. But you know, when it comes up against the Word of God, it's useless. And that's why it's important to know the Word of God. And God is speaking here and telling us, make that thought captive. Don't let it go any further. Don't dwell on it. Don't think about it. Don't meditate on it. Take it captive and make it obedient to Christ. How do we change our thought patterns? How do we make things different? Turn with me to Romans 12. Verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, the devil has spent years conditioning our minds a certain way. He's put certain fears in there. There's fears that we've had from childhood. There's fears that we've had from school. There's fears that we've had from growing up in our parents' home. There's fears that we've had from our workplaces. All these fears come in. We've been conditioned over the years with all different types of fear. And yet God says here not to be conformed to those things, but rather to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the only way that we can renew our mind is by being in the Word of God, knowing the Word, knowing what God says whenever the devil comes against us in fear, that we can stand on the Word of God, we can rebuke the enemy, and we can say, Satan, you're defeated. Jesus has already dealt with you at the cross. Death has been conquered. That's the worst thing that can happen to any of us. It's already been conquered. The grave has been conquered. So what have I to fear? Absolutely nothing. There's not one thing I need to fear, because Christ is in my life, and the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. So what have I as a Christian to fear? God has given us His Word. So in essence, fear should have no authority in the believer's life. You know, we've looked at how we think about the things. What about the things that we say? You know, sometimes we can claim things over our lives. Pastor Mike has mentioned this at Bible school. We can turn around and say things like, I think I'm coming down with something. Many of you have said that. We all said it at some stage. I think I'm coming down with something. Why think that at all? You may have symptoms in your body. Rebuke the symptoms and say, Jesus bore my sicknesses and my diseases in His body on the tree, and by His stripes I am healed. Don't accept symptoms. And you accept them by saying, I think I'm coming down with something. That's giving the devil a foothold. That's speaking death over yourself. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I can choose death, or I can choose life by the things that I say. I can let sickness into my body by choosing to speak negatively about myself, or I can speak positively the Word of God and say, no, I ain't accepting that. And so many of us can say those things and allow the devil a foothold into our lives. You know, many times people get a symptom and fear immediately grips them. And I have talked to people in the past who have possibly maybe found a lump or found something, and the first thing that hits them is, I've got cancer. And they start to dwell on that, and they haven't been near a doctor for an examination. And by the way, the only doctor that needs to examine you, his name's Jesus. He's the healer. And you see, if you bring it to Him first, doesn't matter if it is cancer, He's able to heal it. Take it to Him first. Nothing wrong with going to doctors and getting the doctor to look and examine you and say what it is. Sometimes in the past, I have went to the doctors not to get medication, but simply to find out what's wrong with me so I can pray directly into that situation. And I'm not saying that will work for everybody. That works when you get a word from God and you know God's your healer and you're trusting in that. Don't just jump at that and think, yes, I can do that. Get the word from God and it works. And I have gone in past years, and I remember the last time that I was at the doctor's, and it's years and years ago. My knee had swollen way up. I could hardly get my jeans on. I don't know what had happened. It was about three times the size that it should have been. Very painful to walk on. And I went into the doctor's, and I had prayed. Now, my reaction to the doctor wasn't good. I'll tell you that now before I tell you the rest of the story. But sat in the doctor's waiting room for maybe an hour before I was called, and when I got called into the doctors, I was a new doctor. This shows you how often I go to the doctors, because when I rang the receptionist, she asked who my doctor was, and I told her, and she says, he's been dead for 7 years. And then I told her the name of another doctor, and he had been retired for 10 years. So I don't go too often, because I do trust Jesus as my doctor. But I had simply went to find out what I had, damage I had done. I didn't know, I don't remember knocking it or anything else. But the surgery was full. Went in to the doctor, and I sat down, and he never lifted his head, and he was writing away at a prescription. And I looked over, and I seen my name on the top of the prescription. I didn't go for a prescription. I went for a diagnosis to pray about it. But when I went in, he started writing this prescription, and I says to him, I hope that prescription's not for me. He says, it is. I says, what's it for? He says, it's for anti-inflammatory tablets. I says, what for? He says, you've hurt your leg. I says, how do you know? He says, I've seen the way you walked in there. I says, well, sure, I could have had that limp for 10 years. You don't know. I says, you haven't asked me a single question. I says, it's years since I've been in a doctor's. So say, the surgery's sitting full of people that's possibly in here every other week looking at a prescription or a sick line. And I says, you can't take 30 seconds to look at me. Says I, you just stick your prescription. I'll go to where I should have went in the first place. And I walked out. I asked God to forgive me for my attitude to the doctors. That was important. And I prayed about it. And I got up the next day, and there was no swelling whatsoever. It was totally gone. And I mean, like, my leg was out this size. It was massive. He still says it's massive. But God healed me. But the thing is this, people can get fear on them by not even knowing what's there, by not knowing what the symptoms are. The amount of people that fear cancer coming into their lives, and the first sign of sore head, oh, I have a tumor, or the first sign of a lump under the arm or a lump under the breast, oh, that's cancer. And it may not be that at all, but fear is what Satan uses to grip our lives. But you see, when you have God on your side, you see, when you have that assurance that God's your healer, you don't need to fear. Just take it to him. And whatever it is, regardless, he can still heal it and he can touch it. Don't allow fear to control your life. Job allowed fear in, and he allowed fear to take control of his thought life and his thought patterns, and it come in. Last scripture I want to read, out of time here, but Hosea 4 and verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And it's the lack of knowledge of God's word that allows fear to come into our lives in the first place, that allows that fear to take hold, that allows that fear to just take root within our minds and within our hearts. Anybody who's a gardener, Branton there is a gardener, when you see weeds starting to take root, you don't wait until they're this height, unless you're like me and you don't like gardening. But you don't wait till they're this height to deal with them. You spray them when they're young shoots. You deal with them before they take a good root and before they spread everywhere. Not right, Branton? And Dazzy. So you deal with them quickly. It's the same when fear comes into your mind. You deal with it quickly. Don't let it take root. And the problem with fear is this. You see, once you get one fear into your life, it's like it's one of them bacteria that you see growing and just multiplies and multiplies. There's more fears come and attach itself to that fear. And I've ministered into people's lives where fear after fear after fear has just come upon them simply because they got involved in something or they done something or something was said or an incident happened in their lives where a fear come in and that one fear took root and took hold and then the next fear come and attaches itself and so on and so forth. But the good news is this, Jesus can cancel out all those fears. Jesus can set you free because he's dealt with them all. Jesus has broken the power of those things over our lives and he's dealt with every one of them. And maybe you're here this evening and there's fear going on in your life. Maybe you have a fear of being able to pay your bills. Maybe you have a fear of family situations, a fear of things going on in your workplace or whatever it is. There's hundreds of fears. But whatever it is tonight, I'm going to give you the opportunity to come and we're going to pray. And I'll say this, praying with you here tonight is not going to break that fear. What's going to break that fear is you taking hold of the Word of God. All we are doing is standing with you in faith and encouraging you. But fear is something that just doesn't go away by somebody laying hands on you and praying with you. Fear is something that you need to take hold of in your own life and deal with and break the strongholds. It took some of those fears years they've been growing. And it has taken years for them to get to the stage that they're at now. It may take you weeks to deal with it. But you see, a fear is something that is just like a habit that is formed within us. Habits are formed, but habits can be broken. Most people that try to give up drink or cigarettes or that just doesn't happen overnight. But what I'm saying is this, if you make the decision here and now to break that habit of fear in your life, to break the cycle of fear that goes on and give it over to God and to pray daily into that and to seek a word for that and to overcome it by the word, it will be broken. And we're just going to pray the prayer of agreement. I'm going to ask the praise team to come